The reading today comes from the Gospel of John, starting at the beginning of chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to verse 18. If you don't have a Bible, put your hand up and Mark or Walter will get one to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives life to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace, in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Well, good morning, everybody. Do keep that passage open as we come to start this series in John's Gospel. And as we begin, let me lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this wondrous and joyful story of the Lord Jesus coming into this world that we might know you, that we might be saved and brought into your family. And so, Father, we pray that please you would be at work. Please, by your Spirit, open our eyes more and more to the wonder and the joy of these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we start this morning, I want you to imagine that you're off to the cinema. The screening is set for 8 o'clock. Now, what time are you planning to arrive at the cinema? Seems to me there are three kinds of people. Number one, you are going to get there at 5 to 8 at the very latest because you do not want to miss a thing. Maybe that's you. Option number two, you're not fussed at all about the adverts and you know they're going to take up the first 10 to 15 minutes. And so you're happy to come in at about 8:10. You don't want to leave it too late because you love the trailers and you don't want to miss those. Option number three, you're just here for the film. You're happy to wait till the queues die down, get your popcorn, roll in around 20 past. The right option, obviously, option number two. Skip the adverts, but do not miss the trailers. Aren't they fantastic? These beautifully created little snippets, this little highlights reel, this little hint of what is to come. I love the way that they can try and create something so short, so gripping, something that doesn't give everything away, but it gives you some real highlights and hints of what is to come. Well, as we come to John's Gospel, as we find our way into John's Gospel, I think it'll be helpful for us all to think about this passage, these opening 18 verses, as a trailer for what is to come, highlights and hints of what is to come. And I think that might be helpful for us, whoever we are. Maybe you're here almost for the first time and just trying to work out if this Christianity thing is worth any of your time. Is this movie worth watching? Well, here's the trailer. Here is the chance this morning. We're going to, not be a two-minute trailer, but in the next half an hour or so, we're going to see some of the great highlights and hints of what is to come so that you can make up your mind, is this something worth thinking about? Is this something to keep pressing into? Like a good trailer, it's going to raise some questions for you. It's not going to explain everything. But you might find it helpful to work out, what is this thing? Is it worth watching the whole thing? Might be that you are a Christian and you're new to Oxford and you're trying to think what sort of church you might settle in. Welcome. Again, this morning might be a really helpful trailer. The things that we're going to talk about this morning are at the heart of what this church is about. So you'll get a feel for what we are about and where we are going as we head into John's Gospel. I hope it might be a help for you. And then Woody Road Church family, as Ben said, we're heading into John's Gospel over these next few months in our Sunday mornings and in our home groups. What we're going to get here is a taste of what is to come, some highlights and hints to help us think, what does this mean for us? How can we grow in that sense of wonder and joy at the things we're going to be hearing about? What will it mean for us to follow this Jesus and to live for him? That's where we're heading. Let's head in then to the passage and think of it as this great trailer. It's not going to explain everything for us. It's going to raise some questions, but it's going to help us get a feel for what is to come in this great gospel. Like lots of great trailers, it starts pretty mysteriously, doesn't it? Have a look there at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Okay? There's a character. We're calling him the Word. And those opening verses tell us three things about him, answers three questions. When is he? Where is he? What is he? When is he? He's there in the beginning. Where is he? He is with God. What is he? He is God. Of course, that doesn't make too much sense yet. That's okay. We're trying to hook you in. This is the trailer's work to try and understand how can these things be. But some big ideas are already being introduced, aren't they? If you know the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, it begins with those same words, in the beginning. There it speaks about the first things that God made. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But here we're going even further back. We're learning what was always there. What has always been? There is God, and there is a Word with him, and they are both God. And this Word has no beginning. And there's one very old way of putting that, that speaks about how there was never a when he was not. Say that again. There was never a when he was not. Think about it. If we put some hands up and asked, who was not here in the year 2000? Some hands will go up. We've been born since the year 2000. If we went back to 1900, well, there's a when none of us were here. But there was never a when this Word wasn't here. He was there in the beginning. This Word is eternal and divine, this Word. So as we just go into those first couple of verses, John is teaching us something of this world. If we can divide everything up into God and the things that God has made, then John is telling us this Word, who we're going to hear more about, we have to put him over here. We have to put him on the God side. There is God and there is the Word, and they are both God. And everything else is apart from them. Only they are there in the beginning, the divine and eternal Word. We learn a little bit more. The trailer pans out a little bit in verses 3-5. Let's read those words. All things, we find out, were made through this Word. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This Word is not just a divine and eternal Word. It is a creating and a generous Word. Do you see that? He has life in himself. And then to all things he gives light and life. More Old Testament echoes here. And from Psalm 33, there we read, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." As Ben was helping us with earlier, God's word is how he creates. And so this word, this one, this person, is in fact the word of the Lord by whom all things have been made. Helps us see why Jesus is called the Word right at the start here, because over and over again, we're going to find out he is the way that God speaks to us, and he is the way that God accomplishes what he wants to accomplish. This creating and generous Word, one who gives life and light. So we still don't have all the answers yet. There's still lots of questions coming up in our minds, I'm sure. But we know that this is a God who is creating and generous, a God who gives and shares, who has life and gives it to others. It's worth pausing on that for a moment, I think. It's not how most people think about God at all, is it? Often they will think of him as someone who is distant and disapproving, someone who is stingy. Lots of people's minds will think of him that way. I don't know if you saw in this last week, Apple put out a little video imagining that Mother Earth came to visit the Apple offices. It was a chance for Apple to brag about all of their green credentials, how they're planting forests and using carbon neutral things. It was a big brag about how eco-friendly they are. But it was fascinating what Mother Nature was like. She was terrifying. She was demanding. And the final words of that advert, "See you again next year. Don't disappoint your mother." It's how people often think of God. Stern, just coming for the occasional inspection, someone to be feared. But how is John teaching us to see the world right here? At the heart of it is a God. There is God, there is the Word. They are both God, and they give life and light to the world. Creating, generous. It's the story we're starting to hear. So, what have we said so far? God, this Word, he is creative, he is generous. This is the introduction of this great character, the Word. Now, in verse 9, if we look down there, we're going to see a hint of the plot. Verse 9, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world." Okay, so this Word, he's not just giving gifts from a distance, giving light and life. He is now coming near, coming into the world. He was in the world. It's what we've been singing of this morning, this idea that God himself, God the Word, comes into the world. The idea that the Word became flesh, as it says down in verse 14. The incarnation, God being born as a human being. When you meet Jesus in the next few chapters, this is what John wants you to know. This trailer includes one incredible spoiler. This man who you're going to meet, Jesus, is the true God. He is God come into the world. Now, for some of us, we're familiar with it, and it'll be helpful to shake us out a little bit of how familiar we are with it. Just think what a remarkable story this is. To think of God, the great creator, coming into his world. Who have we been told this word is? He's the divine word. This is the infinite God who becomes so small he could be held in human hands. It's an amazing thing to hear. C.S. Lewis captures it really brilliantly in one place. In the last battle, the children find a stable. And this stable is a bit like a TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside than it looks on the outside. Lucy makes this brilliant comment. In our world too, a stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world. It's a great mystery of this. The infinite God could be contained there in a stable, even in human hands. Remember too, this is not just the divine word, this is the eternal word. And yet God has entered time. There's a brilliant children's song that captures this. Verse 1, it reminds us God doesn't have a birthday. It's another way of saying there was never a when he was not. He doesn't have a birthday. There's no point where he begins. God doesn't have a birthday, no moment he was made, for he is the beginning. He made both time and space. Verse 1. But then verse 2. God chose to have a birthday. He came into the world when Mary had a baby. Small boy, eternal word. The infinite God became a human baby. The eternal God entered into time and had a birthday. I think we should also see here how the Almighty God became weak and even frail. That's the story that we're going to see through this book. The idea that the Word became flesh should sound quite shocking to us, I think, if we've read some of the important passages in the Old Testament. Here's a verse from Isaiah. There we read, "All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Do you see two opposite things? Flesh, which is frail and fails, and the word of God, which will stand forever. Can you hear how John is now putting those things together? The word became flesh, took on that, experienced all of the fragility and frailty of human life. God steps into the world, becomes human. So the Word comes into the world. What will happen? Well, again, the trailer gives us a glimpse of what is to come, what to expect in the rest of John's Gospel. The first thing that John wants us to know is that this Word is going to be rejected. He will be the rejected world. Verse 10. The rejected word. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. One of the most shocking things we will read in John's Gospel is how people will reject this one who comes into the world. It's shocking when we remember the trailer. We remember, who is this person who's come into the world? He is the one who has given life and light to everything. And yet his world is going to reject him, to turn away from him, to choose darkness instead of light. We're going to see how actually that is true of each and every one of us, that we choose darkness over light, that we are slaves to our desires and selfishness left to ourselves, that we would rather glorify ourselves than the God who made us. One of the most shocking things we will read in John's Gospel, the way that when the Creator comes into his world, how he is treated and how far people will go to get rid of him. It's one of the most shocking things, but I don't think it's the most shocking thing. The most shocking thing is that he knew that would happen and he came anyway. It was no surprise that those things happened. It's been the story of the world since the beginning. And those verses that we just read are really a way of retelling all of human history. And that the world was made through him, verse 10, the world didn't recognize him. Almost since the very beginning, human beings have refused to recognize God as their creator. And then even when he calls his own people Israel, he calls a nation to himself to be his very own people. Verse 11, that same story is played out throughout human history. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. We will see it over and over again. But already we can, I hope, just glimpse what good news this is for us. What kind of story are we telling? A God who is generous and creating, a gift-giving God. Now a God who draws near to a world like that, knowing that he would be rejected, he comes near. It is a remarkable and a beautiful thing. For some of us, it will feel really precious. When you heard about a God who is generous and so on, you might still think, well, generous to the right kind of people, but not to me. If he knew the darkness inside me, then he wouldn't want to be generous towards me. But see this, he comes into a world that rejects him, knowing that it will do that. Some of you might live your Christian life hearing some version of that Apple advert, "Don't disappoint your father, I'll be back next year." Just living under the fear of that, thinking that we must somehow clean ourselves up or just hide. But John's gospel is going to tell us this story of a God who is not like that at all, but rather a God who comes near, who is drawn towards a world that is rejecting him and is trapped in its slavery and its selfishness. And what is he going to do? Not just some sort of drive-by with the window wound up. What does it tell us? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. He's here. He's here to stay. He comes to us. It's that most famous verse in the gospel, isn't it? For God so loved the world, knowing exactly what the world is, that he sent his only Son. So the rejected Word, we'll see that coming. It is an amazing thing that he comes nonetheless. Finally, and we'll see that that's not the only response when the Word comes into the world. Verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. What we see here is the Word, this Word of God, is coming into the world, and he is a recreating and generous God. Then we should see how, in lots of ways, he's doing the same good things he was doing in the beginning. In verses 1 and 9, what was he doing? He was giving life and light to the world. Now what is he doing? He's giving the right to become children of God. John's gospel will tell us much, much more about this. The way that we can be brought back into God's family. That we can receive new life by his Spirit. We can be remade. This, in the end, is why the Word has come into the world. So that he might make it new. So that we might be brought out of darkness and into light, out of slavery into freedom, to be forgiven of our sins and to be washed clean. Another old phrase captures it really brilliantly. For a long time, the church has said this: he became what we are so that we could become what he is. He became what we are. He became human so that we could become what he is. He is the perfect Son of God. He enjoys the Father's love and affection. And that is what we can enjoy through him. He became what we are so that we can become what he is. Now, I am sure that there are lots and lots of questions. If that is a quick trailer of where John's gospel is going to be going, there will be all sorts of questions coming out. How can the Word of God be with God and be God, and there not be two gods, at least? Good question. How can someone be born again? How can that happen? How can you really believe that this man Jesus, though he looks and felt and smelt like a Galilean peasant, can you really believe that this one did come from heaven? Great questions. In some ways, the trailer is trying to raise some of those questions. The rest of the gospel is going to help us a little with it. In fact, those are all questions that we're going to hear people asking in John's gospel. They're good questions. John wants to give time to thinking them through. Would love it if you kept coming. You've heard the trailer. Surely, if there is even a chance that these things are true, it has got to be worth keep coming back to hear those things, to ask those questions, to think it all through. But maybe you're here this morning and you are thinking, this is all just so bonkers. How possibly could anyone believe this in 2023? That God somehow comes into the world, that thing happened. Well, what I'd love to show you is how this passage starts to answer that sort of question, how we can believe these things. It's in one other theme that the trailer introduces, and the idea of witnesses. Have a look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Here is the witness to the word. He comes up quite a lot in these few verses. It seems quite strange. We're talking about God and God the Word and this man John. But it is so important to see that he's there because it helps us with those questions. There are people who were there, who heard and saw and touched. And what they saw is written down for us so that we might believe. When God came into his world, he didn't do it in private, not hidden away up a mountain or in some cave. He came and did it in public. This is just so important. There are lots of groups around who will tell you that God has revealed something very special to them, up some mountain or in their dreams. And they will make you try and feel quite special and think, this is only for a few people and we'll let you into these secrets and nobody else knows it. Don't listen to anyone telling you stuff like that. When God came, he came and did it publicly because he wanted all to see it. He wants all people to believe. And so these things are written. They are done in public. They are written down for us. We are going to meet witness after witness who was there to see all of these things. John will be the first. We'll hear more about him next week. Then will come the Samaritan woman. Her life is transformed by Jesus. And so she goes back to tell her hometown, and the same idea comes. You will read later on. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She saw, she heard, her life was transformed by Jesus, and so people came to believe because they heard what she had to say. It will come again later at the death of Jesus, right at the end of the gospel. We're told there, after everything's been described in detail, the man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. So if you are thinking maybe all this stuff is just crazy or just too good to be true, please know that if you come along Sunday by Sunday, John is going to line up a whole host of witnesses who were there, who heard, who saw, whose lives were changed, so that we can believe, so that we can believe that these things are really true. And then finally, for Woody wrote here, we need to realize that we have got a part to play as witnesses to what God has done. Of course, we weren't there back then, and so John the Baptist and the disciples, they have a special role in all of this. They were there, and we weren't. But one of the things John wants us to see is that we have all become witnesses of these things. We all become part of this witnessing community. Just have a look there again at verse 14. Who is speaking? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is speaking? We. We have seen and heard. There is this group coming through. It comes again in verse 16. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. We can join our voices in there, can't we? We have received grace upon grace from God. We have seen his mercy come. We have seen his glory. It's just a hint here in the trailer at the start of John's gospel. We'll see it much more clearly next week. But this is something that we are all called to join in with John to say, we are not the light, but we have seen the light, and to point others to him. It's one of my great prayers for this series that we'll realize that that is really so central to the Christian life. It's what John is going to show us again and again, that we are called to believe in the Lord Jesus, to live for him, and to speak of him, to witness. So a moment to reflect, a moment's quiet, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this wondrous and joyful story, that at the heart of the universe is a God who gives life and light to all, who when he's rejected doesn't turn his back but comes even to take on flesh, even to become part of this world, to suffer and to die, that we might be saved. And Father, we praise you that through him, through what you have done, we might become your children again, that we might see your glory, that we might enjoy your love and favor. Father, we praise you for these things. We thank you for just the hint and highlights of all that is to come in John's gospel. And Father, we pray that please, as we reflect on these things, as we talk over them over lunch, that please you will thrill us more and more with the wonder and joy of knowing these things to be true. Father, thank you for that space for our questions, and we pray that you'd help us to ask those, and we thank you for all of the witnesses from whom we will hear to help us know that we can believe in these things and so have life in Jesus' name. We praise you for him. Amen.